far are you?
I'm doing great, George. I hope you are.
Doing real good. Kind of tell people your past background in dealing with this kind of stuff with these two schools.
Well, I guess a little bit of the past, when we in the ACC decided to expand, we were looking to go to 12 to have a championship game in football and to add the additional revenue that you would need to make it worthwhile financially. And we did. We were looking at Miami, Boston College, and Syracuse because Miami, Donna Shalotti, the president there, wanted to have those two schools because of a lot of her base and their regular students come from that Northeast corridor. So she wanted those folks, and they'd built some relationships with those schools and playing them in sports. And so she wasn't going to come unless those two schools came. And so in the middle, it took us probably 2 months of talking, and I'll get to that later. I'm sure that Texas and Oklahoma have been talking to SEC for a couple months at least to get to the point where they are as quickly as they got there. But we had a vote, and all the presidents were there, and we couldn't get a vote to get those three in. So we individually took them apart, George, and made Miami vote by itself. We got them in. And then Virginia couldn't vote for anybody that didn't include Virginia Tech in it. So we voted for Virginia Tech. We got them in, and we stayed at 11 for a year. And then the next year, we voted Boston College in because Duke and Carolina wanted to make sure we had 12 also, because having 11 didn't benefit you really. So we got to 12 kind of a convoluted way. And that's why I think these things are never easy. So you never know whether the Oklahoma-Texas thing is done until it's over. And all I read is that there's going to be a vote this week. And you have to assume that things have, you know, that they know they have 11 votes. But we did too, and we ended up getting in the meeting and couldn't get the votes we needed. We needed 7 out of 9. I just say that to let you know that, number one, I don't know any facts about Texas, Oklahoma, except what I've read in the paper, but I do know that they didn't start talking this week or no. That came out publicly.
Okay, let's go with that for a second, Lee. When this leaked out through the Houston Chronicle, the athletic director at Texas A&M, who's a buddy of mine, Ross Bjork, sounded like he was saying, this is the first I've heard about it. Hell will freeze over before A&M wants Texas in. Then, a day later, 2 days later, there was a lot of backtracking as though somebody had gotten to him and said, look, you know, you're going to put on a happy face because this is happening. Lee, what I'm curious about is, had Ross Bjork not been told by Greg Sankey that this was going on?
Probably not. I'm sure that they have an executive committee in the SEC. The ACC did, and whoever the president of the league is, as an AD and as a president, and because you can't get 16 people in a room and expect them to keep their mouths quiet.
So, no.
So I'm sure it was at a much smaller circle to begin with. Ross must not have known about it. I also knew Ross when I was in the Sun Belt with helping Wright Waters, and you know, he did sound like he was never going to vote for it, and then 2 days later, it's not quite as bad.
It's a miracle.
And yeah, it's a miracle, and the same thing happened to me. NC State and Wake were for expansion. Carolina and Duke wasn't, and I started getting all kind of pressure, and my president did too, from the North Carolina people about not voting for expansion. So that's what I'm saying. Behind the scenes, now the real thing is going on. All of them have been explained. Here's what we're looking at. And whether they can get 11, I don't know. But it's not easy, I can promise you, because things go off in different directions. And coaches who speak in the public and say that they're okay with it, great for the league, behind the scenes, they're telling their AD, we can't vote for this. This is crazy.
You know they are. So, Lee, but I guess as you sort of read the tea leaves, it's being made. I asked somebody yesterday from Oklahoma if 100% is totally certain. What are the odds that this is going to happen? He said 99.7, and I said, that's interesting. I used to work there. But as you look at this kind of stuff, because you know a lot more than we do, give me a scenario where this falls apart.
Well, all you have to do is get four of them to decide it's not the best for their university, and their president thinks it's not, or the AD thinks it's not best. We already know that behind the scenes, but as I told you, Virginia was told you can't vote against Virginia Tech, and Texas A&M's probably been told that by the hierarchy of the Texas system, or the governor, or the ex-presidents, or whoever have told them they can't vote against it. So I think the softening of that showed you that, and so whether they can or can't, you know, that could keep them from getting the four that don't want this to happen. But George, you've got to assume that, you know, this is really a tough time. I talk to ADs every day in my job of selling video boards and scoreboards, and they are all at a loss for a lot of things that are going on right now. They don't know how much Congress is going to get involved. They don't know NIL, how that's going to affect anything about their business. And then now, not only is the SEC looking at this, as soon as that happened, you can imagine West Virginia's calling people in the ACC probably. I mean, if you just look at the schools that are left behind, and the Big 12 is trying to get people to come to them, and you know, they had that 2 or 3 years ago with Memphis and some other schools. So, I mean, there's a lot going on in college athletics right now behind the scenes just because this thing became public. Before that, you know, everybody was kind of set in their ways, but now this thing has created an unbelievable amount of conversation and fear of what's going to happen to me. And you're talking about a lot of schools. And ACC, I'm sure, is trying to decide whether they're going to expand to 16 or 17 or 18. I mean, so this on top of all the other things that are uncertain with the pandemic just ending, it is really an amazing time. I don't really talk to anybody in college athletics now that is very comfortable with what they're doing and all the things that are going on in college athletics.
Okay, I'm going to ask an ugly talk show kind of question. By the way, Lee Fowler will be with us for a couple of segments, so everybody will get their opportunity. And by the way, if you want to jump in and ask Lee a question during the next segment, we'll do some of that as well at 615-844-5600. So if you want to go ahead and get in, go ahead now. Lee, in the past, Vanderbilt has been known to put out promises and then renege. And they got a stadium that's a pile of you-know-what. And now all of a sudden we're hearing, oh, we're going to upgrade and we're going to spend $300 million and whatever. Is there a scenario where if they renege again, that some people in the SEC start saying, screw you, we'll go get Florida State, or screw you, we'll go get Clemson, and you can end up in the Sun Belt?
You know, I don't think that's a possibility, George. I mean, they're a member, have been a member for a long, long time, and you know, they are also a good competitive member that doesn't beat people, many people in football. I mean, they went through a short time there that they did. And then in basketball, they've struggled the last 4 or 5 years. You know, so I can't imagine that would ever happen, not only to Vanderbilt, but anybody else in any other league. So very seldom have you seen somebody kicked out to get somebody else. So not to say that it absolutely couldn't happen, but I would say that's pretty far-fetched.
Watson, you know the time stuff with our breaks, so if you can get a question or two in, do it. If it gets a little dicier, we'll get it into the next segment.
Okay. Lee, I've been in those meetings in the Southwest Conference with Texas, and I've been with most BCS meetings with Texas. I've been in those SEC meetings. And I've been in the BCS meetings with the SEC. Both of those two, when you're in the meetings with them, they're in total control. It's going to be hard for me to see how Texas, who has been in total control, make all the decisions, and then all of a sudden they're going to get put in a situation where that will not be the case, in my personal opinion. How is Texas going to handle that? Because I think it'd be the first time in their history that's happened.
Yeah, Watson, that's what surprises me more than anything else about what's going on, because Oklahoma's just a little bit behind where Texas is about wanting to run things. And I was actually in Dan Beebe's house for 2 days once. It had nothing to do with the expansion stuff, but Oklahoma and Texas were definitely running that show, and we both know that SEC is not going to be a part of somebody coming in and running things. So do they think that they're just going to get in and then start running it? Or that's what just doesn't – it doesn't seem to me it would make a wonderful, happy group of folks if they get in the SEC. But that's after the fact. I mean, they may think they need to be in it so bad, which, you know, I'm a common sense guy, and I can't common sense figure out why it's an advantage for them to be in the league. I know Texas and Oklahoma, they're big names and all that sort of stuff as far as their ability to sell. And if you're going to take somebody in, those are the two that you would first think of. But it just doesn't make a good marriage to me on the outside looking in. And I can't imagine it happening and being a happy – I can't imagine being in that room with 16 or 18 folks with those two trying to run things.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I just can't – I don't see it, because I've sat back and had to sit back and watch decisions go right through Texas, Lee. I mean, every one of them. Everything goes right through the University of Texas. And that will not happen, because I've also sat in those SEC meetings, and I know the ones in control in those. And Texas ain't walking in and taking over in those meetings. I can tell you right now.
Lee, got about a minute and a half.
Okay, and that's why I think, I mean, somebody said, well, but Texas has left themselves an opening. Well, they have. They're not leaving until June of 25. Now, people say, well, that won't really happen. Well, maybe it does. Maybe the Big 12 tells them, we'll give you a share and a half. We'll give you two shares each to stay. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen to try to stay. I know the folks out there in the Big 12 are mad as they can be, but, you know, you kind of get over it if you don't have to go out and sell your soul to try to get another league together or put more people in the league that don't make as good a league. So nobody knows what this is all about until there's a final decision, and I think it'll be hard to get a final decision. And we may hear Thursday that they're in and everybody's happy and they're moving forward, but I think it'll be a struggle.
Lee Fowler with some great behind-the-scenes info on all of this. We're going to ask him to stick around for another segment. Watson may have another question. Terry, I know, has some. And I'll invite your phone calls for Lee. If you've got something that you want to ask him about this whole Texas and Oklahoma expansion to the SEC, I want you to hit the phones right now at 615-844-5600. Go ahead and jump on in, because we will take some phone calls later in the next segment. With all of that in mind, please stick around. With the music in the background, we proudly tell you, this is the Plaster Radio Network.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
We need the forklift over here.
Indeed knows unexpected growth can stretch your business thin.
Okay, those molds need to be adjusted. The shippers are coming at noon, so we got to get this done.
Like at Dennis's plastic startup, to stay flexible, he needs to get started hiring right away.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. And the moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first sponsored job post. Terms and conditions apply.
Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel is serving up new summer hours and a fantastic summer menu. Open Thursday through Sunday from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel is the only place downtown for breakfast or lunch. Start your day with a hearty steak and eggs and deviled egg toast, or you can lunch on smoked prime rib or shrimp and grits. Open Thursday through Sunday from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Kitchen Notes, located 5th Avenue, downtown in the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
The rocket launched into the air.
And then crashed into the pond.
I'll never forget that day.
I'll never forget that day, even if I tried.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
He's back and we've got him. The George Plaster Show.
Hold on, who is that person?
That was me. Over the bag of Cheetos.
Terry, how long have you been on radio in this market? At what moment do you think when you're doing a live bid, it's okay to open Cheetos on the air?
What in the hell?
Live, local, George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
He's live. He's local. He's George Plaster. The George Plaster Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
.323 is the time. Former NC State and before that MTSU Athletic Director Lee Fowler on the line with us. Columbia, Tennessee's finest. He grew up there. He has seen a little bit of everything, including enough to really talk about this Texas and OU stuff as they try to get themselves into the Southeastern Conference. Watson, I know you got a couple of questions left for him. Fire away.
Lee, I've said all along, and I'm see how you feel about it. I think ESPN's right in the middle of all this. And matter of fact, I think they may be the number one culprit because I was told that the Big 12 approached ESPN basically after the SEC package was done and the billions of dollars thrown around. And they were very cold to them and have not at this point really come up with anything with the Big 12. And I think that triggers the Texas-Oklahoma thing. So I think ESPN is right in the middle of this. How do you feel about that?
Well, when we were involved in expansion, the TV networks were most of the time very, very involved. And even to the point where you run it by them, and what would this be like? What would you feel like at these schools? I mean, they are the players that have the money, and they're the ones that are driving the train. And it always is amazing to me how fans and ADs sometimes talk about, well, I can't believe we're playing this 11 o'clock game. Well, during the last negotiations, you signed off and told them you'd play it at 11 o'clock on Saturday, and it's part of your contract's the reason you're playing at 11 o'clock. So, you know, it's they're very heavy involved in it. Maybe Fox. I mean, it may be a lot of different people involved in it, trying to be to the point where either if you go, it's this much; if you stay, it's this much. But I'm like you, Watson. If they weren't showing him any interest in the Big 12, they already knew something was going on with the SEC and was just kind of slow playing it, where they wouldn't have to get involved with something that may not be even a part.
Yeah, that's and I'll bet you it comes out, Lee, as time goes on. But and my second one is kind of a two-piece to get you to answer real quick. Number one, I don't see how in the world, if they're voted in this week, which I personally think they will be, if they're voted in, because I know the power coming from the SEC office, and if they're voted in, Lee, there is no way they wait till 2025 to play. I think it's 1 year, and they're going to work something out to where they start playing in the SEC. And if that happens, Lee, to combine the second piece, and I've heard them talk about four divisions, I don't think that's possible because that messes up your championship game. You can't have semifinals and finals in your conference championship. So I don't see how in the world there could be four divisions.
At Watson, I've got it. You do a punt, pass, and kick competition between the four teams, and then the two that are left standing play in the title game.
That'd be good. Maybe a chip-off, a putting green, a chip-off, and see who plays.
Representing Vanderbilt is legend Lee Fowler.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, Watson, I agree 100% with you that they'll be there way before 25. Unfortunately, you know, hopefully they aren't feeling like if we're and they may, if we leave, everything, there's nothing can survive without us. So if they feel that way, and that's you know, they think the Big 12 is not going to continue on, I can promise you the Big 12 will continue on. I know Bob Bosby, and I know the leaders in that league, other than all those ADs out there, and they're going to continue on. So, you know, they're either going to have to pay, but you know, all the conversations that are going on right now is about whether you're going to take them or not, and none of the bottom line stuff has been worked out. I'm sure Texas and Oklahoma want to know who's going to be, who we're going to play, who's that sort of stuff, but I remember that all happened after the official vote of whether we're taking people or not. And all the ADs got in the room. And boy, you're talking about some political pressure when that starts from your base about who you play and who you got to play. And I remember we talked about what's the one thing you've got to have. And our deal was we got to play North Carolina every year. And so Wake Forest decided, you know, they had wanted to play North Carolina every year, but they couldn't get that also. So, you know, they wanted to be opposite division with Duke, so they'd play Duke every year and then Carolina every year. So all those little bitty things have to be worked out that aren't really little bitty when you're talking about administrators and coaches, and you got the coaches biting on you on one side and the president's getting heat above you trying to tell you from the big boosters what we want, what we got to have, and that's tenfold at Texas and Oklahoma.
Terry?
Lee? If the Big 12 is to soldier on in the aftermath of losing Oklahoma and Texas, what are some of the schools you feel like are going to be on their radar to try and add?
Well, it's hard to tell because, you know, Terry, they don't know. West Virginia may try to use this point in time to try to get an ACC, which makes a whole lot more sense for their geographically. You know, there'll be some of their schools that'll look at the Big 10 and maybe move to the Big 10. Are looking at moving the Big Ten. So, I mean, it will not be fun and games and fun times out there in that league. But Bob Bosby, who, as I've known as an AD, long before he was a commissioner, knows what he's doing. I think he should have been the head of the NCAA years ago, and we'd be in a lot better shape right now. But he will start the process of who's with us, who's against, you know, who isn't going to stay. And everybody says they're staying, but while they're saying that, at night they're talking to somebody else about what their best opportunities are. And I can't tell you how many cell phones are being worn out right now by boosters calling AD, telling what they want and what they need to do and all that sort of stuff. So to answer your question, you know, they looked at Memphis, they looked at BYU, they looked at some people not long ago and then decided, maybe Texas and Oklahoma decided we're not going to expand and just keep it where we are. The NCAA gave them the ability to have a championship game without 12 teams, and so, you know, that was good for them without having to expand. So all those things will be up in the air now, and you know, when you call the NCAA now, you don't know what kind of answer you're going to get, but you do know that they're going to, you know, side with the student-athletes and what's best for student-athletes. So it's an as I said earlier, it's an interesting time in the NCAA and being in a college administrator's position.
You know, we talked a little bit about how Texas A&M didn't really, you know, want Texas, kind of caused an uproar initially. When you were involved in the ACC expansion, how did they get Virginia to accept Virginia Tech? Because I know initially they wanted no part of that.
Well, it was easy, Terry. The governor told them that you can't vote for any expansion teams unless Virginia Tech's involved. And so they didn't have an option. So when we voted Miami in, we voted with North Carolina. Duke wanted Miami in. They liked Miami. They would have been okay with 10 teams, not going to 12. So we voted them in first. And then we said, well, we don't have enough votes to get the other two. But with Virginia back in the fray where they could vote, since they'd already voted Virginia Tech in at 11, we could do that. And then we couldn't get enough to vote in the 12th team, which was at that time Boston College. It took another year before we could get that done. So I hope that answers your question. But politically, they were told they had to vote for Virginia Tech and couldn't vote for expansion without Virginia. If Virginia Tech was involved, they had to vote for them.
Well, the other part of this, too, that kind of blows my mind, and I realize that the money in the SEC is going to be probably a lot more than what Oklahoma and Texas could take home out of the Big 12, even with the deck stacked in Texas' favor and a lot of things out there. But from a competition standpoint, and with the NCAA playoff about to expand to 12 teams, I mean, I think Oklahoma, given their current status as probably the best football team in the Big 12 year in and year out, you know, they're jumping into the frying pan, so to speak, because in the Big 12, they were almost most years going to be right there and close to being guaranteed a spot in the playoffs when it was four teams. In the SEC, there may not be a situation with 12 teams where they could pull it off if they hit a particular year where Alabama, Georgia, LSU, and all are particularly strong, because I can't imagine them wanting to take four or five teams out of the SEC in a 12-team playoff.
Yeah, those are the common sense things that I've kind of thought about, and that's why would you leave when you're getting ready to expand it and you got a better opportunity to get down where you are? So that doesn't make a lot of sense. And Oklahoma and Texas, unless I miss something, aren't hurting for money. I mean, they've always had more money than anybody else in the country, no matter what the SEC gets per school. So it doesn't make common sense to me for them to jump in to the SEC. Texas A&M has done okay in the SEC, but, I mean, they haven't won it yet. They hadn't been in the playoff yet, and they were close last year. But, I mean, I can't get there common sense-wise why this is something that needs to happen on either side, truthfully. So, and I can promise you there's some coaches in the SEC and maybe a high number that don't want either one of these schools in because they got enough competition already without throwing these two into the fire. So it just doesn't, as my daddy used to say, it doesn't pass the smell test of why this is happening.
And then one more from me. We talked a little bit earlier in the last segment how that Texas has kind of been the tail that's wagged the dog in the Big 12 in a lot of ways with their influence and their own TV network and that George is so fond of. But how will the Longhorns react to being one of 16 in the SEC and not necessarily having the big sway over Greg Sankey and a lot of the other school presidents that they do over maybe the Texas Techs and the Baylors of the world?
Lee, I need you to give him about a one-minute answer because I want to close this out with you with something fun.
Okay, well, George, I can tell you real quick, is Texas probably believes they're going to run the SEC, and nobody in the SEC thinks they're going to run the SEC. So it's going to be very interesting if this all comes about, and it's going to be some feelings hurt, but I don't believe it's going to be feelings of people in the SEC that's feelings going to be hurt.
Lee, I don't know if you've heard any of this, but in recent days I've brought up and enjoyed bringing up the fact that I think Texas has in their little power base and their alumni and all the power brokers what I would call a bunch of J.R. Ewing wannabes. You like that?
I like that, George.
Okay. Now, in honor of that, I want to present to you a little bit of music that might bring you back a few years.
Widows today?
Can I run a JR clip? Oh, turn it up. Let's hear it. Yeah, turn it up. Okay, now, also in honor of all those little Texas J.R. Ewing wannabes, Lee, we want to remember J.R. Ewing fondly, and so we do have certain little clips available, which will give you an idea of what's going on down in Austin. Let's listen in on J.R.
You keep drinking like that, you're going to be evicted onto a trash heap, dear.
I'm amazed you're not a better loser. After all the experience you've had.
I just want you to know, JR, I'm going to nail you.
Now, haven't you noticed? You got to be a man to play in my league.
Is that not
George,
beautiful?
You may need to explain to some of these younger listeners, and I'm sure you know, who was the actor that played J.R. Ewing?
Larry Hagman.
Well, okay. I just wanted to, I knew you knew that, but...
By the way, the music means we're about out of time. So, Lee, I don't have any choice but to say thanks for being on. Pick out a good consolation prize, and we'll send it to you.
All right. Thanks, George.
Lee, Take care. You.